Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to a very special £200,000 to £100,000 challenge podcast with me, Des Hamilton. This episode marks a milestone because we are 1 year deep into my challenge. That's a year of triumphs, of challenges, of learning. And of course, your support. No guests today. I know we're halfway through the Kamal and Shay interview, so that will roll on to next week. But I forgot that it was a year in. I'm spinning so many plates, some are always going to fall. So what we've done is that we've decided to put this episode out as an Ask Me Anything podcast. And here we go. We've opened up the gates and a puddle of questions came through on our social media channels. So today I'm going to answer the most burning ones in this Ask Me Anything session, from the highs and the lows, the behind the scenes, the nitty gritty of it all. Nothing's off the table. And who knows? Wouldn't it be nice next year if we could do a live event? Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, right. Let's make that happen. So today we're going to look back over the year and we're going to go forward about what else is coming. We've come such a long way, but as you know, the journey is far from over. I've not got my official numbers yet because I top those up at the end of each month, but I can with confidence say to you that my £200 is now over £20,000. Even though that's amazing, I am still only a fifth of my way to the goal. Incredible, right? But we're kicking on. I want to highlight, though, that what we're doing here isn't just a podcast. What we're doing in the Facebook group and the TikTok group and the YouTube channel, they're not just groups. We're a community. We're a movement. And we are a movement. Every DM, every comment, every share, every one of you, you've been integral into scripting my narrative, into changing my life. We're not just a group on social media anymore. Every single one of you builds the community of online money maker newbies. We're a bunch of strangers. Let's face it, we don't know each other, but we've all come together as strangers to support each other. And that's a beautiful thing because we've got the one common goal that keeps us all together and pushes us on. And that's to make our future better and take control of our life. It could be lonely, this road. Of course it can. Let's face it, unless you're doing it, no one's got a bloody clue what you're talking about. Steve Brady and I, we're in loads of other groups. And I can't tell you how proud it makes us when someone from our group posts on another one and highlights us and recommends us. Never underestimate the power of community support. And yes, spoilers, I've looked through these questions that are coming today. And this is going to be a theme, I can tell. So let's not waffle on. Let's get into it. Let's dive deep. The good, the bad, and the smelly. Okay, from John, if FBA can make you so much money, why is everyone not doing it? What a question, John. What a question, and a lovely way to kick this off. Let's go through this, right? If FBA can make you so much money, why is everyone not doing it? Simple answer, it's hard. It's hard. And the problem is people are told it's easy. Oh my God, I opened up TikTok yesterday. I must have seen five posts. Oh, I made £200 in 5 minutes in Tesco. You didn't. I don't think these people understand just how disillusioned they're making new starters like that, because you're not. You might find a banging product that's got really good data and that provides you with that sensationalist language, that headline. Look how much money I made and it only took me 5 minutes to find it. That's not it, because you need to buy the product. Then you need to get it home. Then you need to pack it up. Then you need to put it on your Seller Central. Then you need to create your shipping plan. Then you need to take UPS to go and get it. All of this, by the way, is a two-day affair. Then it takes about a week to 10 days to go to Amazon. Then it takes about another 3 weeks to sell. Then it could take anything up to 4 months to sell in the hope that no one else has jumped on there and then it's tanked. And then Amazon stick your money in the account reserve for 3 weeks and then you get paid. So no, you didn't make £200 in 5 minutes. You probably made less than that and it took you 4 months. And that headline, what is it going to achieve for you? If you're creating these posts, you're going to have people following you. And then when they get disillusioned and they find out that what you're saying isn't actually real, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to leave or they're going to jump on the bandwagon and start making more posts spouting that tat. So the simple answer, John, is it's not easy. It's really hard. And people that come on board, they find that out the hard way and then they quit. And it's a shame because done right, with the right mindset, it's the best opportunity that anyone can ever have in this day and age. I'm so sure of that. For Marie, what's your plan for the money you're raising? I want to say make more money, but I don't want to come across as materialistic on that. I don't want to be a millionaire. We talk about this a lot. I don't, but I am going to plow that money back into the business and reinvest it and reinvest it and reinvest it until I get enough money here to make this house stunning, including the broken loft, new cars, a few holidays, the debts paid off, we quit our jobs, and we've put building blocks in place to make enough money where we can sustain a lifestyle that's really nice. And I'm not talking millions because we don't need it. Nobody does. I'm sorry, nobody needs millions of pounds, but maybe that's just me and my age. Okay, what's been, from Rob B, what's been the biggest hurdle in the journey? The mindset, because it's ridiculous. I look at everything that I've done and I'm so proud of everything I've done, but I still look at myself and say, I can't see it happening. And I ignore it because I know that's my imposter syndrome. And my imposter syndrome is by far my biggest weakness, because off the back of that comes the paranoia. When people are reaching out, asking me for advice, and in turn are people that can help me. For example, a couple of big sellers were in touch with me last week and we're talking about how we can work together. There's a paranoid part of my brain that's telling me they're only doing that because you're up and coming and you're probably cheaper. And it's wrong. I know it's wrong, but there's still that voice in my head telling me that. And there's the other one telling me, look, you've been a cog in the wheel. I've been part of the machine for 25 years now. I don't think I ever grasped how difficult it was going to be for me to then just jump out of that. Not just physically, but mentally. Because when people are telling me, and they've been telling me for 6-7 months now, you're definitely going to make it. You're definitely going to make it. Almost taking it for granted that I am. And yes, I'm on track. But what if I don't? Have I ballsed up the biggest opportunity that I've ever had? I ask myself this much more often than anyone would probably ever realize. And it's tricky. I can't conceptualize this kitchen being built to a much higher standard. I can't conceptualize the kids in those rooms. Even though the loft is built, it just needs finishing. I can't conceptualize a first-class flight to Disneyland, Disney World even. And I know I want to do it, and I know the money is going to be getting me there, but the biggest hurdle is me. And I'm willing to bet it's the same for everyone else that's going through this transition. User blah, blah, blah. That 20K, is any of that from your TikTok use, or could someone not on TikTok do the same? Love this, user XXXX. I wish I knew who you were. It's a great question. No, that 20K, none of it directly is from TikTok. I understand they've just gone through this creator fund change, but until this point, no. I think something like, one of my TikToks, I had something like 950,000 views. I reckon I got about £2.50. TikTok don't pay. But what TikTok has done is that it's opened so many doors that has indirectly benefited me. I think that's really important. If it wasn't for TikTok, I wouldn't have had the Facebook group. And the Facebook group empowers me beyond belief because we empower each other. But in terms of the 20K, what happened as a result of the Facebook group is that people were reaching out to me saying, can you mentor me? Can you mentor me? Can you mentor me? I never went out to be a trainer, even though I'm qualified at it. People said to me, could you train me? And it was the demand that made me go down that road. And even though I priced it really reasonably, £250 for 4 weeks, which is about £500 cheaper than anyone else. If it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't have had the money from the mentoring coming in. And for the amount of work that I do, for the money that comes in from the mentoring, that's my biggest income stream, which then gets reinvested and has helped grow the pot. So no, TikTok hasn't done that. But what it has done is open doors to me to grow the pot indirectly. Same with YouTube ads. It was TikTok that made me grow my YouTube channel. They pay me. Affiliate marketing. The TikTok channel has grown my audience. So people are seeing what I'm doing. People are saying, you've inspired me to make a start, and then I can get them a discount on a bit of software, which then gives me a commission. So it's win-win. That's how TikTok's done it. So if anyone said to me, would you recommend going down this road? Yes, 100% yes. But could I do it without it? Yes, 100% yes. It would just take you a little bit longer, and your networking will have to be a bit more inventive. You would have to go to others rather than others coming to you because of your successful TikTok channel. You see what I'm saying? Good question, though. Alan, how scalable is each revenue stream and would debt help amplify it? Oh, that's a good one. Right. How scalable is each revenue stream? Oh, it varies. We need to break them all down. by far, Amazon will be the most scalable. It was the number one driver behind the challenge in the first place. So when I said, oh, the £100 at the time, we'll go to £100,000, I knew Amazon would let me do it. So that's the reason why I threw another £100 in, because it was going well and the cash flow was stuttering. I thought, right, let's throw another £100 in, and I know it will scale. So whatever money I'm bringing in with ebooks, affiliate marketing, mentoring, yes, that's great in the short term. And yes, that is outweighing what Amazon's giving me at the moment. But Amazon has grown every month. And the ceiling for that, well, there isn't one. And you can see it yourself, cut through all the white noise. And there's a bunch of successful Amazon sellers that have made millions and they haven't done the social road. So when we talk about, is anything scaling? I suppose it all is, you know, it all is. I mean, the affiliate marketing, that's grown every month because you get paid per person per month. So you put more people into your programs and again, you will be paid more. Mentoring, of course. If the group grows, more people will want to be trained. And of course, that then becomes scalable and you could start offering more products to train out. The podcast, this is hugely scalable. Once we get traction, I'm getting more listeners and more views every week. Sponsorship deals, brand deals, that's scalable. So all of it is really, it all comes down to what ones I want to spend the most time on and how much energy I give them, because they are all scalable, all of them. You just got to put the graft in. Okay, from Dort, we've got a few of these. Looking back on what you know now, what would you tell yourself a year ago? We've got it from Peter. In hindsight, what would you do differently? And from Mark, what would you have done differently knowing what you know now? Looking back at what I know now, it feels like the socials have given me more money disproportionately than my Amazon selling. And then when the opportunities come from the socials, you do get shiny object syndrome. Offers all over the place. I'll train you for free if you're an affiliate for this. I'll do this for you if you're an affiliate for this. I want to help you do this. Let's do this. And I was so wide-eyed. I said yes to everybody. It left me stretched far too thin. So I ended up letting people down that I thought I wanted to help and I knew could help me. And if you go back over my journey, you can see all this out. There's times where I've gone, I'm going to do this. And then you don't hear anything else about it because I'd stretched myself too thin and I knew that I needed to get back on track. So sometimes Amazon was sacrificed because I had shiny object syndrome going down this way. Now, what had happened is that these other things were paying so well, it enabled me to neglect Amazon, but I never wanted to. My wife and I, we sit down at the end of every month and we talk about our goals for the next month. And for about a 3-month spell, we both said we need to get back on the Amazon train because things aren't working. And it was around about the time that Steve came into my life and could help me with my Amazon journey again. But by that point, I was becoming a bit lazy on it because everything else was paying me a lot in the short term. And I lost sight of how scalable Amazon was. And I think that was really important. From Bogdan. Okay, so what is the next step? One of the things when I look back and I can see where I was naive in the things that I was sharing and the posts that I was making, I said to myself, right, I'm going to do this with arbitrage. I'm going to start with £100, £200 and I'll get to say £5,000 with ARB and then I'll get into wholesale. And then when I get to £10,000, then I'll do private label. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. That black and white methodology thing, it doesn't exist because when your money's tied up with Amazon, it's tied up for a good 4 months. This is what we were saying. So at the moment, I've got thousands and thousands of pounds worth of stock, all from online ARB tied into Amazon. So for example, at the moment as well, what I've also done is we've invested heavily into the infrastructure of a wholesale client. In order for me to open wholesale accounts, we need a warehouse, somewhere that can take a pallet. We need a website. We need a bit of infrastructure here or there. So I'm laying an awful lot of money out at the moment so I can go better into wholesale. That doesn't mean that I'm neglecting ARB because arbitrage has worked so well for me. And like I said before, I can't see the ceiling yet. And as I can't see the ceiling yet and I'm growing as much as I'm growing, why would I stop? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Online ARB is giving me all of the things that I need to do to hit my goals. So why would I stop doing that? So I'm scaling up with my ARB. I'm still doing retail arbitrage and I'm still doing used books because I train it. And it's really important to me that I do the very thing that I'm training out. So I'm reaching out into wholesale now. And I'm also learning private label with a view to throw some money at it in the next few months. So the next step after FBA, there isn't one. FBA is everything. I will make this challenge using FBA. And it will have some elements of private label. It will have some elements of wholesale. It will have some elements of online ARB. And then there'll be bundles involved, which will then have a flavor of all of those into one product. From Adele, how would you do it alone when you don't have anyone to support you? This is what I was saying at the top of the show. I love what I was saying at the top of the show. I've turned podcasty. This is what I was talking about. This is the theme that keeps on ringing true. If you haven't got anyone to support you, then join as many communities as you can to find people that will support you. And it don't have to be close people. Strangers will do. Just someone that can relate to the things that you're going through. And when you share some news, whether it's good news or bad news, someone who A, knows what you're talking about, and B, can empathize with you, can sympathize with you. Because that's all it takes, is to feel like somebody can listen and somebody can understand, and then somebody can point you in the right direction. So yeah, I mean, I started alone. My Claire, for example, she was doing other side hustles. The Amazon journey was mine for months. And I was going out to shops and sitting on the laptop and talking to my phone for so long before Claire got actually involved. But you find support in Discords, in Facebook groups. There's so many Facebook groups, places like ours. And you're in ours, and you're very active in ours. And it's a pleasure to have you here as well. So don't think you're alone in this space. Okay, from Matthew, what was your initial thought process behind starting on TikTok? Love this one. I've mentioned this before because I've been lucky enough to be interviewed a couple of times. So I knew I wanted to start a social media channel because A, I wanted to be accountable, not necessarily to other people, but to myself. And B, I saw on YouTube, Emma Louise Hamilton. She's not as active on the socials as she used to be, but she is a girl on YouTube that basically came from a working class, what looked like a working class area. And she went, right, I'm starting an Amazon journey. And you could see her posting for 2-3 years. And you fast forward to one of her more recent ones. And there she is, made it in a warehouse, doing everything that she said she was going to do. I found that so inspiring. And I put myself in her shoes. And I think, how lovely would that be to look back and see you've documented the transition. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have something where I could look back and go, look where I've come from. And look what I've done. And as I've said on the very first post, if you look at my very first post, I genuinely wanted to create a community of online moneymaker newbies. That was a goal of mine. And I did it. I love it. I did it. So those were my initial thoughts. And then thirdly, I wanted to grow a YouTube channel because I knew YouTube was another income stream that I wanted to build. So it was threefold, really. Keeping myself accountable, building the community, creating more income streams. Because without a following, you can't have affiliate marketing. Without a following, you can't have AdSense. Without a following, you can't look to sell digital products without paying for advertising. So I knew that one income stream isn't enough. If I wanted to leave my job with security, I mean, bearing in mind, I've been a copper and I've been a public servant. These are two of the more secure jobs you can ever have. So if I'm doing something to leave those jobs, I would need to have had as much security as I could possibly give myself. And the only way of doing that is creating more than one income stream. Ideally, creating about 5 or 6. From Keith, what's been the most profitable one for you so far? And which, if only one, would you like to do long term? This is a great question. I'm sure it won't surprise you to know that at this stage, the most profitable so far has been the mentoring, because it's a thing that I've specialized in. So it's something that I know I can provide the value with. The Amazon selling is entirely relative to how much money you put in. And I think this needs to be explained because it's not explained very often and it isn't made clear when people start off using things like TikTok and YouTube as a basis for their understanding. Ultimately, you only get out from Amazon what you put in. This 30% return, surely it stands to reason then that if you've got the ability to put £10,000 in, you'll be bringing in £13,000. And then someone will go, look, I made £13,000 in a month. You go, yeah, mate, but you put 10 in. So the Amazon business is so scalable because the whole point of it is you put more in each month as your cash flow increases. So when someone says to you, look what my trainee has done, they've made £1 million in the first year, that's because they put up hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds. So Amazon will be the most profitable. It will be, but only because I'm putting more and more money into it as we grow. Short term, mentoring. From Lisa, did you find starting out a slog? Yes. Yes. But if you found anything from me on the socials, you'll know that when I got started, I knew that I'd be working my hardest and my longest, earning the least. And it is a leap of faith. With any other side hustle, whether it's drop shipping, affiliate marketing, high ticket affiliate marketing, you name it, Amazon FBA private label, all of that thing, it all comes down to putting the building blocks in place. There is nothing out there that will earn you 10 grand for the broken lazy. The whole Etsy thing is a lie. It's all built on how good your following is in the first place and how much money you're throwing into advertising to get your listing in the top list. It's the same with the Kindle print on demand. Everything is a slog because you have to start from the ground up. Now, I started with £200, but it doesn't matter. If you started with £1,000, the beginnings are still a slog because you're learning brand new things, new systems, new processes, new ways of thinking. On top of that, when you're someone like me, who's been a cog in the wheel for the last 25 years, earning PAYE money in a big public sector thing, I'm also learning autonomy, decision-making, money management, lots of things that an entrepreneur is learning for the very first time in their 40s. So yeah, starting out is the hardest. And this is why so many people quit. You just got to get through that. Okay, from Mark, how long did it take to be able to find products fast? Well, it's a year, mate. And I still can't find products fast. let's put this into context. So Steve's VA, his lead VA, has been his VA for a number of years. She works on this 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. She still only finds a handful of products per day. Whether sometimes that's five, sometimes it's two, depending on the day, depending on the deals. So it comes back down to the same old thing, doesn't it? Sourcing is the hardest thing. And it's always purported to be easier than it is. You're much better going into this thing with the mindset that sourcing is freaking hard, and getting something, finding a product that's really good, should be rewarded and should be celebrated because it's an achievement. Okay, we've got a few from Melissa. What does your weekly schedule look like in terms of spending time on your business? That's a great shout. So I work full time. And when I say full time, I work 35 hours a week, which on the grand scheme of things is all right, because I used to work over 70 hours a week on the same full time job. So currently 35 hours a week. In my lunch break, I'm checking my prices. If any of you are on the mentoring program, you'll know that on my lunch break, I'll reply with a voice note. In the evenings, I'm either training twice a week on the mentoring, or I'm putting things in place for this podcast, or I'm editing an old interview, or I'm researching further methods. Now, that's my day. I put in place that I'll be finished at 9:30 every night at the latest. And I allow myself an hour with Claire, because Claire would also be working on the business in that time as well. And then we settled down. So we put in a lot of time in the spare hours, definitely. Melissa's next one is, what type of office work do you do? This is another good question, because no one talks about the boring stuff today. They all talk about the interesting stuff like sourcing and sending money in and getting money out of Amazon. No one talks about the pricing strategies, the inventory management, the audits that you do on your own inventory and your account health. Then the tracking you do of your products that aren't doing very well, and the little management you do thinking, like, do I make a loss on this or do I break even? What cost do I have in getting this in and out of the fulfillment centers before the storage fees kick in? These are daily tasks that I set myself up for, and that's just Amazon. Then think about the content creation that I have to do as well, the analysis of what's happening with the posts that I've already made, and then learning off the back of that so the next one does better with its engagement, responding to messages that I'm getting on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, contributing to the Facebook community because I'm so proud of that and I want to be active in it because I don't want to be one of those guys that sets it up and runs away. So I do a lot of admin, a lot. Then there's the digital products. Sometimes I'm writing one, sometimes I'm promoting one. Then there's the mentoring program that I'm training or setting up the admin for the next one. Now, recently we've had the sourcing masterclass as well. That's an awful lot of admin. So there's tons of it. There's tons of it, Melissa. From Dave Connor, things to watch out for that can trip you up. You don't find out are a thing until it happens. Yeah, good shout. Plenty. It's not the Amazon selling, because the Amazon selling, you always need to go into it knowing that Amazon can come in and take your legs out from under you at any given time, or someone uneducated could come in and tank your listing. But the stuff that can trip you up, it's the mindset stuff. It's the fact that you're going into business for yourself for the first time and you don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. This entrepreneur aspect that you're making it up 95% of the time. So when people were saying, well, why aren't you going as a wholesale yet? It's like, because I don't have the need to think differently at the moment, because everything that I'm doing is working. So it's the mindset that trips you up. It's all of a sudden you're sitting on your backside for three nights in a row and you think, you know what, I've done nothing on my business. It's surprising. From Daniel, favorite RA and OA shops. Love it, Daniel. This is one of the things that I've really found since I got into this. People will hold secrets to their chest more than Scrooge McDuck and a gold coin. Everyone is very secretive about the products they sell and the suppliers they get them from. Now, in the arbitrage world, in the arb, it's not such a closely knit secret, more wholesale and private label and things like that. So my favorite shops, Tesco is always good. When you go to Tesco, don't do the club card stuff, because if you can find a club card bargain, someone up in Aberdeen can find a club card bargain. You want to find those ones with the square dash boxes reduced to clear. They're the ones that are specific to every Tesco. Boots is always a good one for me as well. We've done well in Boots, and we've always done well in garden centres. OA, yeah, a little bit further afield, tend to go into the European sites, not so much the UK ones. What I find really helps is if you have an online arbitrage tool like ArborSource, our fantastic sponsors, by the way, and then when you go into their software and you see the stores that they're scanning to get their deals from, find those stores and use those, because that's what the software is using and they sell that to people. So if those are the good stores, look for them yourself. From Dan Tink, Des, what was the worst product you tried selling and why? Man, take your pick. There's loads of them. There's loads of them, Dan. I think this is really important, because when you're assessing your own inventory, it's really, really, really easy to get bogged down in the poor items. You kind of take your high-selling items for granted when you spend so much time and energy on your crappy ones, and you kind of need to flip that. You don't want to waste your energy on the lower-selling ones. You want to get rid of them, cut your losses. If it's not selling, get rid of it. Either have it sent home and sell it somewhere else, or take the hit and just get it out of your inventory and spend your energy on the good ones. I've had loads of bad deals, too many to remember, and I can't remember a specific one, but I can tell you my good ones. I'm not going to, but I could tell you my good ones, because those are the ones that I spend more energy on. I hope that helps. That doesn't really answer your question, but I hope that helps. That's my mindset there. From James, do you ever think you'll quit the day job? Thinking about 5 years in the future, do you think FBA will still be a stable source of income? Yes, James, yes. 5 years is nothing in Amazon. Let's take a 13-year-old in today. 5 years' time, they'll be 18, and they'll be an Amazon buyer for the rest of their life. The generations that come are going to be buying more from Amazon. Amazon is only going to grow. And look how much it's grown in the last 5 years. So in 5 years' time, I don't want to be a millionaire, but I've certainly got the opportunity to. So taking your first part of the question, do you ever think you'll quit the day job? Yes, it's in my strategy. We're not there yet. My timeline is set. Stage one is that my Claire doesn't have to go back to work after her maternity. That's stage one. Once that's managed, we can start thinking about me. But yes, we're quitting. And when we quit, it's only going to go up. Because imagine all the time we can throw at this thing. From Kazi, what are the best online sourcing search engines? I tell you what, Kazi, what a beautiful question. Let's slip straight into the advert for ArborSource. All right, everyone. Before we dive back into the Q&A today, let's pause and talk about something that's critical for every Amazon seller. As Kazi has asked herself, finding products that actually make you money. Let's face it, it can be like finding a needle in a haystack, right? Or you like to call it a treasure hunt, depending on your mindset. But what if I told you there was a tool that could turn that haystack into a gold mine? And once again, we're introducing ArborSource, your new secret weapon in the Amazon selling game. Now, we've already heard from its brilliant founder, Callum, 2 weeks ago. ArborSource is an extraordinary piece of software designed to scan hundreds of online retailers to pinpoint the best leads for your Amazon business. It takes the time and the guesswork out of the equation, and it frees you up to scale your business, because that's what you want to do best, right? This isn't just about making life easier. It's about making your business more profitable, because it's got features tailored to the needs for both beginners and experienced sellers. ArborSource is designed to accelerate your path to financial freedom. Now, get this. ArborSource has been generous enough again to extend this special offer just for you guys. Use the discount HelloRich and it will get you 50% off your first month after your mandatory 7-day free trial. Half price. If you're watching this, listening to this, and you're tuning in after September, that code will still nab you a solid 30% discount. This is a really good opportunity, everyone. We've all hit walls in our Amazon selling journeys. ArborSource is a great bit of kit and can certainly help you. Just visit the link in the notes down below and to get you signed up. You won't regret it. Don't forget, Hello Rich, all caps, no spaces. Okay, from Karen, how do you get over feeling like a plonker when you're in a shop pricing stuff up on your own? I love that. In the early days, there is no getting over it. It's just You've got to get used to it. You've got to get used to it. Before you know it, your partner's filming you in the middle of Tesco's. You might as well have a boom mic stuck over your head as well. And you're talking out loud to nobody. And then you're lying to the person at the till because they're wondering why it is you've got 10 landlines in your trolley. Okay, from Riley. How important is networking? And what is the best way to go about it? Just reaching out to people and chatting or any other ways? Love this, Riley. I make no secret here. I put networking down to nearly all of my success, all of it. Again, it came with a naivety from me that this stuff was just going to happen. But I put that also down to my manifesting and my belief in this law of attraction, because I knew I was going to create a network. And I've always backed myself when it comes to meeting people, talking to people and putting out a good front when I do so. When I got going with this, the TikTok channel kind of did the dog work for me. I was posting content that was relatable to people that were doing better than me. It was relatable to people that were a few levels higher than me. And then they reached out to me and they said, love what you're doing. We want to help. And before you know it, I'm saying yes to anybody that moves and I'm reaching out and I'm meeting these people. But I am also putting myself out there. I want to make this clear. Everyone that said, hi, do you want some help? Yes. And one of the best bits of advice I can give you is always take the help people are willing to give you. And that's easier said than done. But what I am proud of when it comes to networking is that when people do say, I've got this opportunity, do you want to do X, Y, Z? Take yourself out of your comfort zone and say yes, because what you're doing is opening a door for another opportunity. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine was due to be interviewed on a YouTube channel and he couldn't make it. And he put my name up in place. And he said to me, do you want to do a YouTube interview in about 2 days' time? Yes. And then that interview has led to another path. It's incredible what relationship building can do. And when you say, what's the best way to go about it? There's no wrong answer there, Riley. Do it any way you can, any way that makes you feel more comfortable, whether that's a comment on someone's post, whether that's a DM, whether that's some other sneaky way of finding an email address. What's the worst that can happen, right? Good luck. Okay, from Luke. How would you scale this business model solely doing Amazon FBA? When would you implement scale-ups? Yeah, I feel like we've covered this one. There's no hard and fast rule. Depends on the money you've got available. Depends on the thing you like. If you don't like wholesale, don't do wholesale. The beauty with Amazon is that there are loads of different methods you can do that might suit your habits better, that might find itself more enjoyable to you. Okay, from Chris Grimes, he's thrown a bunch of questions at me. Let's go through these. What was your biggest asset to taking this journey? Now think about it. Has that changed? And if so, how? You know what, Chris? I've always thought that my communication is one of my best assets when it comes to my career. Being a copper, working on the planes, doing what I do at the moment, which is all about relationship building. Communication has always been my thing. So I've always gone into this knowing that I can put forward my argument or put forward my point fairly rationally. Now, what this last year has done is taken that and thrown it to the moon. It's ridiculous now. I used to start this, and you may know this, but I used to start this thing by looking at my teleprompter and reading a teleprompter from a post. I stopped doing that now. I don't need to anymore. I could do a TikTok, talk at the camera for 30 seconds, and that's the post. It's ridiculous how well my communication has developed from what I thought was good in the first place. I'm really lucky there, but I have worked on it a lot. Your support network and network support are apparent. How do you maintain those connections while keeping focused on your goals? I feel like this is important because from the start, I wanted to help other people. I wanted to create my community of online moneymaker newbies. So when people reach out, it's easy to respond because I think that's my purpose. And the second I lose that, I don't believe I'm as relatable anymore. I've still got no money. I'm still a victim of this economic status, just like all of us are. So on speaking to you all, I understand what you're going through because I'm still going through it myself. I understand the need you've got to make life better for yourself and your families because that's the need I've still got. That's how I keep focused, because when I hear other people's stories, it reminds me of what I need to do. And then on the flip side, on this podcast, when I speak to successful people, it keeps me grounded in that's what I've got to achieve. Because the beauty of this Amazon business is most people came from the ground up. You don't get entitled people in an Amazon business. Everyone's done it from the ground and worked their way up from nothing, from their startup money. And I think that's really rare too. And again, that comes back to what we said at the beginning. It doesn't feel like we're just a Facebook group. It doesn't feel like we're just a group on social media. We are a community. And everyone appreciates what the next person can bring to the table. And it's a lovely, lovely thing. And I think it's something that social media has been crying out for. And I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I changed social media. That's not what I mean. But what I have done is I've been able to bring a group of people together without the toxicity that a lot of the social media can bring with it. And everyone's kind of left their egos at the door and come to this thing saying, I need help. But the experience of people have come to the door saying, I'm willing to offer help. And that's so important, so important. And it's something I'm so proud of. All right, and on to the last one. We've got, Claire Hamilton, when are you taking me out? Leave it out. Leave it out. Talk to me like a normal person. Stop putting messages on my chat. Right, I think that will do it, everybody. I've really enjoyed that. And this is definitely going to be the longest podcast by a mile. We won't make a habit of this, but we will do them on special occasions. I hope I've answered the questions to the extent that would be helpful. And if there's anything that I've missed, please drop comments on the YouTube channel or anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, and I can always respond to them in future episodes. We're going to get into the numbers of what my first year looks like next week, and we'll pick up again with Kamal and Shay. Off the back of that, I just want to roll in once more and say thank you to Callum and Arbisource for sponsoring these episodes. I really, really recommend their bit of kit. It is the best online arbitrage bit of kit that I like to use. And with the code HELLORICH, you get 50% off your first month if you take your subscription out in September, or 30% off any other time. That's HELLORICH, all capitals. All right, that'll do it. Here comes the music. Here comes the voiceover lady. I'll see you next week. Like, follow, subscribe, do all of those things. All the best. Later.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.